The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's Hump Day, 8 a.m. Central Time, where we are here on the Power Hour. Welcome. For those of you who have questions, 844-769-2944, listen to the prompts and press 1 to get into the studio. We have Perry Arledge Perrier, the infamous Perrier. And I'll tell you why she's infamous, because of the fact that everybody tunes in when she's on, because she is the one that is all over the calcium bentonite clay that we sell here on the Power Mall. And the larger sizes are available by dropship directly from Head to Toe Clay Company. And, I mean, people are already texting me and asking questions. Good morning, Perrier. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm great. Thank you.
So, out of curiosity, we've been talking this morning about the digestive processes in the system, the human system. People who are taking PPIs like omeprazole and stuff like that. If you were to drink a shot of clay mix, you know, calcium bentonite clay on a regular basis, could you stop taking omeprazole?
Well, I'm quite sure you can. You can stop taking a lot of things, and it's going to work on so many areas of your body, not only your digestive system, but it'll give you more energy. It will cleanse and detox you. So, you know, when you get the crud out of the way, a balanced body, when you're detoxed, a balanced body can heal itself. And it has a unique ability to, because it's a catalyst, to work with enzymes in the body, and it can actually make things the body's deficient is that the clay doesn't contain.
Hmm.
And I think that's one of the most amazing stories about it. They proved that with these clay shrimp that lived in pools of clay water. And when the body just said they can't live on clay and water alone and took them out and tried to feed them, they died. And they went back, and the ones that left in there had proliferated and were fine. So they determined that the shrimp had enzymes in them that could convert with the clay and make all the nutrition they needed.
Wow. And I guess that would be healthier if you wanted to harvest them to eat them. They'd be healthier than the stuff that's out in the ocean floor right now. So that's amazing. I'm just, you know, because this is the thing about balancing the digestion and healing your gut. And because we were talking about shrimp, that brings up another topic that somebody asked me about, was giving clay to pets. Because I think we've talked about this on the show before, about how some people have been putting the clay in the cat's water and the cat won't drink it now unless there's clay in it. Giving clay to pets, is there a formula for how much to put in their water?
Not really. I pour a pretty good amount. It'll settle to the bottom, but it cleans the water when they drink the top. So you want to, you know, maybe every 4 days refresh it and put in fresh clay. And I'm constantly adding water to it. But feral cats, I have feral cats, and they were skinny and poor and full of parasites. Let's get rid of parasites. I even have a lady that wrote me and said, I've done a clay enema 3 or 4 times. And the first day, I saw lots of parasites in my stool. When I was trying to figure out what all was being released, I think I found some stones as well. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So, yes, that's quite amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Parasites. That's amazing. The thing is that You know, when you make up a pet dosage, are we talking about like a teaspoon for a gallon of water? I mean, what are we talking about here?
No, I take the regular recipe for drinking liquid clay, the 4-to-1, four cups of water to a half a cup of clay, and mix that. And I just leave it on the counter, and I go pour some when I put fresh water in. Just kind of stir it up and let it settle.
All right.
Also, a lot of people feed their pets and just put a spoonful of the clay in their bowls. For bigger dogs, they maybe put 2 spoons in there. And some of the pets like it, and they go to eat the clay first. Owls in the wild know that clay, when they get sick, they'll go find clay and either eat it or wallow in it.
Wow. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works. Mike in Indiana, you have a question for Perrier?
I didn't know that. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know that was on. Can I just mention one thing? I'll let you go with the rest. I want to mention something my relative brought up to me real quick, and I'll let you go. All the other callers can ask. Did you know that if you look at your coins now, the older years, the presidents on the coins were facing towards In God We Trust, but if you look at a coin now, the president's back is facing the coins?
Didn't know that. Food for thought. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for your call. Folks, we're talking to Perrier here. So if you got a question pertaining to the subject matter, that's what we're inviting this morning. Perry Arledge, by the way, is the author of Living Clay, Nature's Own Miracle Cure, and she's been an ongoing student in the study of research of bentonite clay since the early 90s and an advocate for it ever since. She has a BS degree and a background in chemistry, biology, veterinary science. Well, it's no wonder that you are good with figuring out how pets like this stuff.
Yes, well, I've studied it for a long time, and I have 2 volumes, huge volumes, fine print, Handbook of Clay Science, that really helped me digest and understand how this remarkable product works. It's a God-given gift. No, the pharmacies can't replicate it. And it has this magnificent pulling and drawing power for detoxing. And, you know, we even pregnant women drink it, and they believe it helps the fetus and it helps them do the process. My daughter drank it when she was pregnant. She had a heartburn so bad. She was eating Tums and taking all this stuff, and nothing worked till she got the clay.
Wow.
And we have a 21-year-old healthy red-headed boy now. So, it's safe. Not all clays are safe. All deposits are different. This deposit has been protected with a 2-foot layer of crystalline zeolite from the volcano that birthed the clay. So God put a cap on it so it couldn't be contaminated over the millions of years by acid rains and whatever. And it's a desert clay. And last time I checked, they have 2 inches of rain in the desert. So.
Wow.
Kept it very pure, and works on the whole feather, the whole body. I have a lady that had a cyst on her foot and was going to have surgery, and she started putting poultice in and taking the foot baths. And she said for about 4 days she couldn't tell that anything was happening, and then on the 4th day she had this tremendous pain when she even touched the area. And the next morning she woke up and the abscess had burst and drained, and she was scheduled for surgery and canceled the surgery. She kept putting the clay on it, just healed up.
Wow.
It literally pulled the abscess up through this little small point on her foot.
That
and
is
I've
amazing.
I've heard of people with abscess in their teeth and that it can pull the abscess up.
That is amazing. You can also use that after a dentist x-ray. You can put clay on the affected area, or do you actually drink it? Do you apply it? I know that people I've heard have actually put it on their sore gum, just making up a little bit of liquid clay in a poultice and put it on their sore gum, and next morning, it's all better.
Yeah. Well, I recommend using the powder clay because when you put the wet clay in there, it has a tendency to just slide around. But if you put the powder in there, it becomes wet, like the wet clay, but it sticks to the area.
Interesting.
It sticks to the gum, yeah.
That
and you
amazing.
Just get a little popsicle stick and take the ridge and poke it in there. And that it's amazing if you've got gum problems.
Wow.
Pack it at night and sleep with it. If you swallow a little of it, it's all to your good.
Interesting. Eric in Nebraska, you have a question for Perrier?
Yeah, I had a couple questions, but on the clay on your gums, what if you've got still got some metal fillings in your mouth? That probably wouldn't work, would it?
Yes, it will, because clay doesn't bother non-deteriorating metals. They don't put deteriorating metals. Well, they used to put amalgam, but they're quitting that now because it shrinks and leaks mercury. No, it's on deteriorating metals. The titanium
all right,
in
the
body is not a problem.
Okay, now on the... say someone had to take a heavy dose of antibiotics, and the intestines are probably lacking the normal bacteria. Would the clay help, or you need to add something different than that? And I was wondering also that I think your math is a little off. You said 4 to 1, 4 cups of water to half a cup of clay. That's 8 to 1.
Yeah, it's 8 to 1 is right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That,
and also
on
the parasite. That's okay. On the parasites, now, Dave, he takes ivermectin all the time. Now, is that neat? Do you take ivermectin, or you just use the clay for parasites?
I just use the clay. I use the clay for everything.
He sure does.
I put it in my coffee, or sometimes I just take a shot of clay.
I've been using
it for 28 years, going on 29 years now, and I'm 85. I have all my joints and all my teeth. And
that
I
is
have
amazing.
No arthritis.
Okay. And
that is amazing.
On the probiotics, how do you rebuild that?
Pardon?
The probiotic. You say you had a heavy dose of antibiotics. Is it? What do you say to get that back in normal?
To drink clay. It'll balance your gut. Anything wrong with your gut? Drink clay. Have diarrhea. You're not getting the nutrition from your foods, whatever is going on in there. And healing, I've heard about it, healing Crohn's disease, leaky gut, polyps, irritable bowels, all
amazing.
Of that. It's so good for your digestive system.
It is. Eric,
thanks for your call.
Appreciate it. Well, there you have it. I mean, that's just, you see, we entertain a multitude of questions, and I mean, the hits just keep on coming with this stuff. And here's the other thing, too. You can use it in nuclear disasters because, I mean, literally this stuff, from what I understand, cleans out a lot of the radiation. Is that right?
Yes, they put it in Fukushima and a lot of these Chernobyl. They dumped sodium bentonite clay in there to absorb the radiation, but both clays absorb radiation. Like I say, when I leave the dentist, I'll just keep some in my jar, in a little jar in my car, and I'll rub the clay mask on my cheek areas where they x-ray, and then drive home with it. So I'm clean by the time I get home.
That is amazing.
If you have body x-rays, then go home and take your clay bath.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to be important here, folks, because, I mean, if you're depending on supplements and prescription meds and whatnot, and a lot of people take supplements, but they also take clay baths. But having that much clay, and I really think that maybe this is something that people need to look at, is the 5-gallon size, and to just keep, ordering and stocking the shelves using this, like if we run into hard times and all you have is access to water and clay, as far as treating medicinal issues like healing wounds and you cut yourself. I mean, a lot of you have bleed stop. You've already figured that out. I had one instance. I talked to somebody that cut her finger open with a knife. I think you talked to her as well, Perry, and she put some bleed stop on it and then started following up with clay. You can't even tell. according to the photos I've seen, that she even cut her finger.
Yes. Oh, it's amazing on an open wound. You know, all these emergency vehicles need to take the clay with them, and somebody has a gunshot wound, and a lot of them bleed out before they get to the hospital. So if you can pour the clay in there and just dump it into the wound, the powder, it's going to adhere to it, keep the germs from getting in the wound, and it coagulates the blood. It stops the bleeding.
Wow.
When they get there and wash it off, it's clean. They haven't stuck a dirty towel in there and pressed on it to stop the bleeding.
That is amazing how that works. And see, this is another reason, folks, with everything that we've been talking about on the show this morning, and I think you know where I'm going with that because Perry probably hadn't been listening to the first segment of the show. But, I mean, stuff like that, knowing what we know, it makes sense to stock up on the clay and as much as you can. As far as storing clay, they want to go out and buy a whole case of this stuff because, I mean, how long the shelf life of the clay? If I was to go out and get, you know, a half dozen 5 gallon sizes, how long is that going to stay on the shelf? I mean, is it good for the life of whatever my use of it?
Well, the clay is 43 million years old. I think it's going to be good for another million years at least. If you don't get it contaminated.
Yeah.
You want to keep it in a place where it won't absorb odors. Clay is the best deodorizer there is. And if you leave the lid loose and you put it in your garage, it may start tasting like gasoline. But just put it out in the sunshine and open it, and usually those vapors, things that it's absorbed, will dissipate. It'll release them.
So the plastic,
a hot, sunny day.
Yeah, the cost of the clay, we're kind of curious to find out on all of this stuff. I know you can go to the powermall.com and get the pricing on that. And it's drop shipped, the big sizes are. And so you're basically, because of the fact that this stuff is 43 million years old, even if it's in a plastic container, which these come in, because I have them here.
They come in food grade plastic container with a food grade liner.
See, that's the kicker.
Yes. They're not going to absorb anything from the plastics.
We're talking about a long shelf life here, folks.
Yeah, and you never know what emergencies and what's going to go on in the war today. And anybody with any kind of a wound, just put clay on it. I know it sounds like you're putting dirt in a wound, but it will heal it faster. It closes it up. It just, I cut my knee one day. I mean, I fell and busted it, and it was just a scratched up bloody mess. And I was going to a wedding. I put a clay poultice on it. When I left, there were two tiny scabs, and it also took the pain away. It's a great pain reliever on anything that hurts. Put clay on it.
Yeah, no doubt. So as far as the mixing of the clay, it's 8 parts of water to 1 cup of clay.
No, half a cup of clay. A fourth of a cup of clay.
Okay, to eight parts of water.
To eight cups of water is a 1-to-8 ratio.
1-to-8, okay. That makes sense. Four cups of water,
there'd be 8 half cups of clay, see? So that's a 1-to...
I mix it up in a blender and I put eight. I fill the blender up almost all the way up with warm water and pour in a cup of the clay, and then I mix all that up and fill it up to the top where I've got 8 full cups of the stuff already in there, and that's what I put in the bath.
Amazing. You don't need 8 cups of water. I mean, 8 cups of clay.
No. Eight cups of water to 1 cup of clay. That's what I use.
Yeah. Well, I add a little more water to it when I'm going to put it in my bath. It doesn't matter because when you pour it in your bath, it's going to mix with the water. And you need to get in and keep it stirred up. I take a cup and pour it over me and keep the water stirred up because it tends to settle to the bottom in that much water.
Agreed. That's one of the reasons. I run it under the water spout, too, at the same time. We run it under the faucet to make sure I clean out the blender as much as I can, because I usually blend that thing really twice so that I know it's thoroughly mixed up before I put it in there. Chance, you're on the phone with Perrier. You have a question.
Yes. Good morning, Dave Meister. Good morning, Perrier. This question pertains to water in a pet's bowl, okay? Now, I keep water outside for my pets in a plastic pet bowl, a large one. It's about maybe a quart, a little bit more than a quart of water. Now, every day I've noticed after it sits out overnight, there's like little thread-like things. I can't, like fine hairs, anywhere from a half inch to an inch long. And I'm wondering if this something's coming down from the atmosphere, maybe from chemtrails or something. And I'm kind of concerned. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm wondering.
When you put the clay in there, do you see that?
I didn't put the clay in. This is a question I'm going to ask you now. How much clay would I, because I dump the water every time I see this every day and put fresh water in. How much clay would I add to a quart, let's say a quart-sized water, plastic water bowl for a pet?
I would put a good half a cup of liquid.
Half a cup, and stir it up with a plastic utensil, correct?
You don't have to. It's going to settle to the bottom. But the person who told me about clay said, if I was in a tsunami and I had nothing but polluted water, it wouldn't bother me to throw a glob of clay in there and stir it up and let it settle and drink the water off the top.
Yeah, because I heard you can't use a metal utensil when you stir it. That's why I asked you that.
Well,
and I'm just concerned.
Not all metal containers deteriorate. It's deteriorating metals. Now, I've got a little metal water bowl and a plastic one, and it also keeps it fresher from getting, but if you clean it every day, it doesn't get the green algae in there from the sunlight on it.
Right, and, well, usually I get the green algae with the metal pet bowls outside, but the plastic one. But I'm concerned about those. They look like fine hairs. I don't know what's coming down from chemtrails or whatever. Maybe
be,
is what I'm thinking.
You know, something like mosquitoes lay eggs in water. Insects
mm-hmm.
will
I heard
lay
that
eggs
too.
In water. And they're
all
little
right, but you said half
things.
A cup, correct?
Yes. If you have
half
that
a cup
much
of clay.
Water, half a cup. Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to stir it, right? It'll just...
Just put it in there. It'll mix in there. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you now. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Chance. Thanks for the question there. Yep. It's always nice to get feedback from our people who use this on a regular basis. And that's something that you need to basically put this. This needs to be part of your regimen, folks. That's one of the reasons why we talk about this. This is not an infomercial. But, I mean, you ask anybody that uses this clay. From personal experience to whatever, about putting poultices on open wounds, about pouring the powdered clay right into a cut or a wound, you know, making poultices with it to heal the skin. I mean, it is amazing what this stuff does. And because it's all natural, it's probably one of the best things you can keep in your pantry. And that's where we keep ours. We keep ours in a dark, cool place. And you should have an extremely long shelf life if you were to buy this by the case. Because I know if you're prepping, and we talked about this on the show before, and you're dependent on medicinal things like PPIs, which are protein pump inhibitors, you probably want to start looking into alternatives. And that's one of the reasons why we have Perrier on the show. What about as far as... We already know that as far as taking supplements at the same time you take prescription medication, is there a rule of thumb for that?
Well, it doesn't bother supplements, but for prescription medicines, you need to check with your pharmacy and ask them how long it takes for it to go into the bloodstream, because the clay particle is too large to pass through the colon wall into the bloodstream. It never enters the bloodstream. In and of itself. Now, as a catalyst, it can create an enzyme
that can benefit you that will go through the colon wall, but the clay itself won't.
But you can take a supplement with the clay, right?
Supplements, it doesn't bother. There's a study that Winston Price did with mice, and he said you can take half their weight. It's fine. It's not going to hurt. Half their body weight in clay. And I have had a lady that prescribed drinking 8 ounces 3 times a day that healed her colon and healed another guy that had 5% of his liver left. He had cirrhosis of the liver. And he started drinking the clay, taking the baths, and putting a poultice on his liver. And in 6 months, his liver grew back 35% when the doctors had told him to go home and prepare because you're not going to be here in 3 months. So
wow.
He cured himself, and today he has 95% of his liver is functioning.
That is amazing what this stuff does. And he took it internally and then put a poultice right over where his liver was.
Yes, and he took some clay baths to detox. And in 3 months it was 35%, and a year it was 50%, and then the last time she talked to him, I mean, he's been back at work real quick. He got back to work. And the doctor said there was nothing they could do for him. I love making the doctors wrong.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, it is good. Now, as far as clays and dietary supplements, this is a thing. A lot of people are sometimes confused because of the mineral content in clay. They look at this and go, well, I could just take this instead of taking like calcium and iron and zinc and all magnesium and all this other stuff. What is the take on dietary supplements as far as clay goes?
Well, clay does give you some. It gives you calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium, but we're not sure to what extent, how much it is. So if you need one, go ahead and take your supplement. Won't hurt to get a little more, but we're not sure that the clay will release. This is in the adsorption layer of the clay. And it's a positive charge, and it will release those vitamins and minerals and take on a positive charge baddie. And so it will release a few minerals, but not all of them. However, silica is the main component of clays because it's earth, it's sand. And silica is, and I think that's why my bone density is so good at 85.
And that's one of the reasons. 86. Yeah. That is amazing. Well, happy premature birthday there to you. Because I know you'll be around to carry on this conversation in the future as well. One of the questions that we hear constantly is about, well, drinking clay, will this cause constipation?
It can, and it's a simple fix.
Okay.
When you get the directions, you just take whatever will keep your janitorial sources functioning. But half the people have a good bowel movement.
That's great. Harry A., thank you so much. We're out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with Fred Jaszewski. Stay with us.
Ask is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Oil of Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646. uscoincapital.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, where we are, Brad Duszewski with U.S. Coin Capital. You just heard that marvelous man's voice chime in and over the commercial break. Hey, what a great intro, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate that. You see, you're made for this sort of thing, man. Commercials sound great. Folks, you need to understand that there's a lot of stuff going on here, and everybody is becoming more and more aware of what's happening with the economy, and they're starting to fight back in so many different ways. Costco, by the way, the headlines, I wanted to save this specifically for Fred, is selling up to 200 million in gold bars each month. But you see, because of the fact that it's Costco that's doing it, and we got a Wells Fargo analyst sitting there monitoring what's going on. You know, last year they started selling 1-ounce gold bars for $2,000, depending on the price of gold. And they're also selling silver for $675 for a tube of 25 coins. You know, the gold may now be running at $100 million to $200 million each month, according to CNBC. But see, there's a caveat emptor involved in that, which means buyer beware for those of you that don't know the Latin translation to that. Why do buyers need to beware of stuff like this, Fred?
Well, I think it's another venue for people to be able to accumulate gold. I don't see it as being any different than going to another bullion resource. So there's nothing particularly interesting to me about the fact that it's Costco, except it just shows the extent to which they believe that there's public interest and they don't want to miss out on the idea that they could sell hundreds of millions of dollars worth of anything. So if they can make some money selling the public gold and they believe that demand is going to be there, you know, they've created their own market. You know, this is comparable to what was happening in Asia, where they actually had machines where you could go in and, you know, like you could buy a Coke, you know, you put your money in and pop out a can of Coke. Well, you can go to machines in Asia and buy bits and pieces of gold. And you could do that for the last several years. I think it's interesting that the big retailers like Costco are considering that there's so much American demand that they want to participate in it. And again, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think personally, I've always believed, you know, that any form of gold that people have, as long as they have physical delivery and possession of it, is a good thing. It's certainly better, in my opinion, than paper money. But between the forms of gold, the concerns I have about these bars, which are what we would call bullion, are just two things. There are advantages, you know. So, for example, I would suggest a $20 gold coin as opposed to a 1 ounce bar of gold. And people would say, well, why would you recommend that? And it's, again, it's not that I have an issue with any form of gold, but I think there's a better way to go. With the coin, there are two things. Number one, there are limited supplies of these things that were minted and the production of them already ended. And in the case of the American $20 gold coins, we're talking about 1933, the last year they were even made. And with about 90% of them having been melted that year when the gold recall occurred, we have roughly about 10% of the original production still in existence today. And that is it forever. So imagine now if Costco turned around to the public and said, okay, we only have a limited number of these gold bars, and at the end of May, we're going to run out. There won't be any more. The premiums on them would explode. Now, with bullion bars like this, people need to keep in mind, these are part of the federally regulated portion of the gold world, which means that those people who would acquire gold in the bullion form would be required when they sell it to provide a lot of personal information. They'd have to give their social security number. The IRS has to receive what's called a 1099-B. It indicates the amount that they sold. They then would also have to keep records of their purchase to make sure that that sale doesn't look all like income. They have to justify a cost basis. And that reportability requirement rests upon the seller, the person they sell it to, and we don't have a choice. So as a dealer, if you bought those bars at Costco and then wanted to sell them to me, if I purchase them, I do have to issue a 1099 to you and goes to IRS. So with the government regulation also comes the possibility of government interference in the future. We have had recalls of gold by the general public in the past. I don't foresee that as a likely scenario, but you are finding yourself under that umbrella if you're dealing in the bullion world. Now, the coins, the $20 gold coins and the other American gold pieces, are free of all of these regulations. Somebody came in and sold me $10,000 worth of gold coins. I write them a check. That is the end of the transaction. I'm not required to provide any information to government agencies, and I don't. So if they want to report that sale themselves, if they have a gain and they want to report the profits, perfectly fine. That's their obligation. But it's not on me to babysit people. I like the idea that the coin market treats people like adults and we don't have to oversee what they're doing.
At least for now, which really is, you know, the thing about the bullion, folks, I don't know if you even realize that, Fred. You just brought up, it educated me on something as far as the 1099-B. People don't understand it because a lot of people want to go out and buy bullion. Does it work the same way with silver bullion? Because
yes,
a lot of these dealers are selling silver bullion, just the little silver bars. And I mean, those work the same way as the gold bullion bars, don't they?
That's correct. Anything that's defined as bullion, which is meaning that it has no value except merely the metal that it's made of, all of those are reportable. In order to separate from that, it has to be constitutionally issued currency. The reason that the gold and silver U.S. coins that I work with are not reportable is because they were minted by the United States government with the intention and were distributed to be used as actual money. So again, people spent those $20 gold coins as currency. People spent those silver quarters and dimes. And we talked about earlier, just before we came on air, about, you know, how high the premiums on some of these silver coins being offered in the bullion world are. If you look at it, silver quarters today, for example, and I know we talked a little bit about this in a couple of our past episodes, that the premiums on them have been compressing. Well, we're at a point now where, you know, if you took a silver quarter, there's about $5 in melt value in a silver quarter, and you can buy one for about $6. So, you know, the premiums are negligible. They're almost non-existent. They used to be $4, $5, $6, $7 over the spot price of silver. You know, now we're down to merely pennies. So it's a very affordable way to buy silver. I don't really see the advantage of the bullion. You know, what people would say, well, maybe it's cheaper, but it really isn't. You know, the premiums on silver eagles can be $15 or $20 over the spot price of silver, you know, which could be 70 or 80% over its melt value. So I think there's real value in the silver coins right now. And gold, of course, now has been hitting new highs. We're at $23.30, silver just shy of $28. And of course, Wall Street today, and I still don't get these guys, but they were surprised by the uptick in the CPI. And that's all they're saying all day long, is that the surprise number of the consumer price index at 3.5% caught Wall Street by surprise. They didn't expect it to be this high. I don't know what they're looking at to not expect that the CPI was still going to be higher than it was a year ago, but they're still under this misbelief that inflation has dissipated to zero, and then they keep getting smacked in the face with reality. And of course, we have to keep in mind that the CPI, in my opinion, is a complete fallacy as a number. It does not translate to the real world. We talked last time, I think, about particular price increases of various products from 20 to 30% to 50% from last year, from things like car insurance and milk and, you know, things that real people actually buy. So this 3.5% inflation idea, you know, but it's what the government uses as its number. So they pay attention to it. And if you notice what happened, the stock market did not like the number. I haven't seen the opening yet because it's probably right now, but I guarantee the market's down this morning. The Treasury yields are up. Everybody's responding to the quote-unquote surprise of inflation has not gone away.
It's amazing how this, all the bunch of Keynesians up there on Wall Street. Just out of curiosity, though, Fred, when you're talking about Wall Street and you're talking about people that talk about gold and whatnot,
You are frozen in time, Dave. If you could still. All right. Well, Dave, I see you frozen, but apparently you can still hear me. So, yeah, Wall Street was surprised by the CPI. I find that very interesting. I just think they're not really paying attention to what people are experiencing in the real world. And, of course, this is going to have an impact on the public because this does mean rising rates do cause additional interest payments. And again, we all will be paying for this in higher taxes one way or the other. Kevin, hi.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello, is this Dave and Fred?
This is Fred. Kevin, go right ahead.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, I was listening to you last time you were on the program, and you were talking about the low difference between what you can, the markup on silver. I looked out yesterday, it was $28 and some cents for silver, and you could get a bag for $21,000. I mean, that's not much spread. I was buying it back in 99 for $4. I was cleaning out these little box shops, and it just seems really warped right now. Is that Dave or Fred?
No, you're absolutely right. So I mentioned this on the past couple of shows with Dave, that over the past year or so, something rather unusual has been happening to the, I call it the premium on the silver United States coins, the pre-65 quarters, dimes, and halves. So what began to happen about a year ago is that the price they were selling for over just the metal that they're made from began to compress. It had been expanding pretty steadily for the past decade. So it was constantly becoming a little bit more overmelt. And as the price of silver went up, of course, the price of the coins continued to climb as well. But then about a year ago, the premium started to compress. So what happened is, although the silver price itself was increasing, the cost to buy a silver quarter or half dollar actually went down because the premiums were lower. So right now, with silver at about $28, we're finding that we can offer silver quarters as if silver was still $22 an ounce. So the last $6 in increase in the price of silver has actually had almost no impact on the cost of coins. This is a temporary situation. It will not last long. But for those people that like to buy silver, it represents a great opportunity to be able to buy those pre-64 coins, which are fixed in supply, and to get them at a cost that makes them as affordable as any other form of silver. So I think it's a great opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, so we've been having a little bit, we're having some storm issues here, Fred, and resort to going to the phone so we can continue this conversation here. All of a sudden, our internet went crazy, everything went crazy, you know, typical storms. But, I mean, this is the sort of thing we were talking beforehand, and I don't know if you answered the question or not about gold IRAs and about putting our faith. To me, it would seem that the IRA has a lot to do with being connected to the stock market, and it doesn't, it's a little scarier to me than investing in products.
Well, it's a little different. And if you buy, let's say, something investing in gold that's in an IRA form, the most significant difference is that you don't get possession of the gold or the silver. So now it is stored by a third party. And it was within your IRA, and then effectively you should be able to liquidate it. They would either send you the gold or the equivalent value at the time that you sell it, but you never get possession. So now you have to rely on a third-party storage facility and make sure all those things are done diligently. So for some people who don't have any other retirement capital but their IRAs, at least it's something that they can do to put themselves in a position where part of their capital is in some way invested in the gold or silver market. So I don't think it's a bad idea for those people that don't have an option. But I've always been a big fan of physical possession. To me, this is the simple key to the ownership of gold and silver coins, is that it is a physical product, and people should want and should have some physical wealth comprising what they put away for their future. Otherwise, everything is relying on something else. And I just learned over my lifetime that some of these reliances are flawed. You know, we've trusted in things that turned out to not be great. And sometimes they backfire completely. I mean, look at people who, you know, again, it's a sort of an offshoot, but look at the people who trusted in Bankman-Fried. You know, suddenly their funds were wiped out, or people who had exchanges in cryptos that they can't access because of fundamental problems. These are all side issues that come from not having physical possession of your wealth. So I think the IRA programs are appropriate.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the thing is they also have tax consequences, do they not?
They do. You have to deal with them the same way that you would any other funds within an IRA account. Obviously, all of that is visible and directly reportable. So there are benefits to, you know, retirement accounts like this that are tax deferred. But yes, this is certainly a visible asset. It's just like you bought a stock and sold it, and the profits are there and visible for everybody to see. So it is a little bit different. Again, some people don't have a choice because they have no other way of investing in gold or silver because they have no retirement money outside of their IRA account. And for those people, again, I think this is not a terrible idea. But I'm a big fan of, you know, again, I've said it before, physical possession. So if you do have the ability to buy with funds outside of an IRA account, I would deem that to be a better way to buy gold or silver than to do it within these IRA programs.
Makes sense. Eric, you're on the phone with Fred Jaszewski. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say you were talking about the newer silver dollars, that the premium was like, I thought you said like $15 over the price of silver. Did you speak that? Was that what you meant to say?
Yeah, on a lot of the new silver coins, you know, we've seen the premiums bouncing all over the place, and at some points they have been extremely high. The point I was just trying to illustrate is that a lot of people mistook the idea that because it was a newer coin or a bullion product, quote unquote, that it would be closer to its metal price. That's not really necessarily the case. And again, currently with the premiums being so ridiculously low on American silver coins pre-65, I think they make a much better opportunity for an investor, because as those premiums re-expand, which they are very likely to do, not only do you get that upward movement in the metal price itself, but you then get that expanded premium. And I would rather own a quarter that was minted in 1964, 63, or something that cannot be reproduced than a modern silver coin that they can make a million of next year and a million of the year after. And there's no difference between them by year, with one or two exceptions. So it just seems to me that, you know, for the ways that people can accumulate silver, again, I want to say this very clearly, any form of silver or gold that people own physically to me is a good idea. But I think amongst the various forms, there are times where there are certainly benefits to one form or the other, especially now with these premiums being so compressed on American silver coins. I think they are huge in terms of an opportunity for investors to acquire them.
So if I was going to sell you an uncirculated roll of silver dollars, how much over the price of silver would you give me per coin?
Well, I wouldn't. You know, I probably wouldn't pay much more than the metal price at all, unless some dealer was offering something really high for them that I could throw it out to him. In general, I don't buy modern silver coins or bullion products because I want to avoid having to deal with the regulations that are incorporated with them. So what they've done to me as a dealer, for example, let's say you sell me $10,000 worth of these silver dollars, these modern silver eagles. If I, within a calendar year, buying and selling combined, cross a $50,000 threshold, everything I do from that point forward becomes regulated as a dealer the entire year. No matter what product I'm dealing with, I now have to address everything in the regulatory format. So I would prefer not to buy anything that's going to put us under those auspices. So I tend not to be a buyer of the modern silver coins or the silver bars or the silver eagles. But again, I would look at the current market value and see, you know, if I'm going to turn around and sell it, I have two choices. I can sell it again to a retail customer. So I buy it from you at, let's say, you know, spot plus a dollar, but then I have to sell it to somebody else for spot plus $2 or $3 or $5 to make a buck. Or I have to find a dealer that's willing to pay me more than the spot price. And that means I also have to ship it to him and pay his costs. He has to make a dollar. You know, the whole thing really doesn't really work very well from my point of view.
And then how much cash, say you had $100,000, and you, what'd you say, 10% of your should be in gold and silver, or I don't know, or 25%, I don't know what you say on a percentage.
Yeah.
Then say, what about paper cash? I mean, the banks may close on you, but it doesn't mean gold's going up real high, but how much paper cash, say you had $100,000 liquid?
Well, if I had $100,000 liquid, the two things I would look at is, number one, when do I see the need for the money? If it's going to be short term, like if I might need it in 4 months or 6 months, anything, let's say, less than a year, I wouldn't really look to buy gold or silver with it per se, because then you're speculating. And I think it's better to be smart about the way you accumulate gold and silver and be an accumulator. In other words, if you're speculating on the jumping price of gold or silver, that could go against you just as easily. I mean, gold and silver are volatile markets. There's no question about it. They go up and they go down for a number of reasons that are incredibly complicated, and it crosses the entire world spectrum of finance. So things like interest rates in the United States, treasury yields, BRICS accumulating gold and silver physically, hedge funds buying gold and silver, there are a number of variables that account for the day-to-day price. So it makes it very volatile in the short term. But if you were saying that you have this $100,000 that you're probably not going to be using it for 4 or 5 years, I would say at least 15% of that should be in something physical like gold or silver coins, because in 5 years, the value of that $100,000 is going to be seriously eroded. I know the government is telling us there's 3.5% inflation annually. I think that's nonsense. It's probably three times that, if not more. So if you're going to lose 5 or 10% a year on the value of your paper and you do nothing with it within 5 years or 10 years, you know, 30%, 40% of its purchasing power will be stripped out from under. So you'll still have the money. The same 100 grand will still be sitting in your drawer in cash. But how much will it buy when you go to spend it? That, to me, is the essential variable.
Yeah, we appreciate your call, Eric. Thanks for the call. And that's one thing that I'm looking at here as far as like these Franklin Haves, your Washington Quarters, and all the things pre-64 is the vendability of them in the market in times of a crisis. While we have this last few seconds left, Fred, could you comment on the vendability issue?
Sure. You know, if it comes to a point where there's a real fundamental flaw in the economy, you know, imagine a period where those paper notes you're holding, $100,000 in cash, suddenly is deemed worthless because people are suspicious about its value. How will you conduct commerce? The advantage of things like, you know, silver quarters and dimes and half dollars is they are incremental. You know, a silver quarter at around $6 is a very useful tool to be able to negotiate and conduct commerce in the event of a total, let's say, collapse of the purchasing power of paper money. Something I don't really foresee happening per se. I see it more likely that it loses a lot of its value and becomes worth less rather than worthless. But at least you, if holding silver coins, would have a negotiable instrument to be able to conduct commerce, something that people would respect if they lose confidence in paper money.
Well, I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure, Fred Dyshevsky, talking to uscoincapital.com, 800-878-2646. We'll see you tomorrow.
Organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com. or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.